Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we like to always let you, or remind you, and let you know if you're new to this, we do have a 10:30 Zoom fellowship service on Sunday mornings, where you can watch this message in meditation, listen to music, interact with other Unity folks, have discussion about the lesson. There's a lot of things that go on in that Zoom fellowship service at 10:30 on Sunday morning. So if you'd like to join us, please check your e-newsletter or your weekly update for the link. And if you're not getting the e-newsletter or weekly update, please go to unitycenteroflight.org and put your name and email address in so that we can send you that information. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. So good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, November the 12th. The key word is faith, and the affirmation is faith heals, prospers, and blesses, and sustains me. Sometimes I wish I had a way of looking into the future and knowing what to expect. But even though I cannot know how the future might unfold, I can still be prepared for it through the power of my faith. Having faith means I have unwavering fidelity to spiritual truth. My faith is my anchor, keeping me steady during shifting worldly circumstances and focused not on the things of the world, but on the power of spirit. My faith keeps me steadfast in the midst of uncertainty, inventive when met with stagnation, and adaptable when faced with changing circumstances. I turn my attention to God and feel my soul illumined by my belief that everything is working for good. I align with this truth and go forth blessed by my faith. And the scripture reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 5:7, and it reads, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, you know, we're continuing on this journey. We've been working in Genesis and trying to understand how what we learn from Genesis we can use to, you know, sort of elevate our understanding of our divine connection. And, you know, so today's lesson is called, If Only Adam and Eve Hadn't Messed Up. I think I shared that with you last week, that that's what we're going to be talking about. But, you know, there are several axioms that we hear in New Thought as a guide for right-mindedness that sound good, but probably need more explanation to convince us of their usefulness in our everyday life experience. For example, the axiom you always hear, thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, okay? Now, we have a tendency to want to believe it is true. Thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. But we do that while yearning for more explanation of how it will work in our lives. How does that work in our lives? Thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. What is the real essence behind that? So in this lesson, we'll explore how we fit in the cosmology of existence as it is explained in Genesis. And we'll seek to gain a greater understanding of why thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. Now, throughout our Christian experience, we have maybe heard quite a few times, if only Adam and Eve hadn't messed up, we'd be still living in the bliss of the Garden of Eden. And again, that's really when you're looking at this whole thing metaphysically, because remember I shared with you that Bible scholars say that all of Genesis and all of Revelation are pure allegory. Nothing is to be taken literally, okay? So let's explore whether or not they really messed up Adam and Eve? Or was it part of a cosmic system of choices available to them, which is indicative of a cosmic system of choices that are also available to each one of us? Okay. So now, it says in Genesis 2:8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there God put the human whom God had formed. And it's written in the Old Testament Interpretation Manual. It came out of Unity many years ago. Okay. It explains that Eden has multiple metaphysical meanings. Okay? And really, that's the essence of what we're trying to get to when we're looking at Scripture. What is the real metaphysical, and I'm going to say this, the metaphysical science behind what we are reading in Scripture. So the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, for those who are new to Unity, is a book that we use to interpret a lot of the words and names in the Bible. It mostly defines Eden as a state of great spiritual harmony and pleasantness. But it also says that Eden is a consciousness that contains all possibilities for growth. Okay? And the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary explains more. It says, these words describing Eden are highly significant, for they point to the fact that the metaphysical meaning of Eden is that of a matrix from which all possibilities of good can occur. Eden is a state of all-inclusive potential. Okay? So let me read that scripture again. I'll recite it. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the human whom God had formed. In other words, the universal divine presence, a.k.a. Lord God, Jehovah God, Yahweh, placed the human whom God had formed into a matrix of infinite possibilities, a matrix of all-inclusive potential. So the dictionary equates the matrix to a womb. It says a matrix is a lot like a womb, which is the surrounding substance within which something originates or develops. I think we can understand that definition. So again, as we talked about in last week's lesson, in order to grasp the significance of Scripture, we need to put ourselves in the Bible story. So therefore, we are the humans that the Lord God made. We are the ones who have been placed in Eden, which is a matrix of infinite potentiality, a matrix of all-inclusive potential, which is why thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. Okay. Pam, could you go upstairs and get the Science of Mind off the desk for me? Thank you. I just remembered something I wanted to do at the end of this. So, for example, when we pray, when we ask God for help or guidance or healing, it's important that we become aware and remain aware. It's important that we become aware and remain aware that we are in the divine matrix which produces what we are asking for. This is, you know, kind of the metaphysical science behind thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. So as it is expressed in Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. But this is a controversial statement because there have been many times in our lives when we asked for something in prayer that we felt we really needed, and it never seemed to manifest in our lives. Okay? However, Jesus explained why this is the case in John 16:24. He said, until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask in my name, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Now, when Jesus said, ask in my name, it means to ask in his nature, which means in the same state of absolute knowing that Jesus had. It's the difference between asking knowing and asking hoping. Okay? So what we strive to do in our study of Scripture is to come to an understanding of the difference between hoping and knowing. Right? Now, hope, even though it can give us great courage, you know, we have hope that things are going to work out, it gives us great courage. But it comes from our material nature. Typically, hope is from our material nature. It's kind of what we believe we know is possible. Okay, whereas knowing comes from our spiritual or Christ nature. So let's take this another step towards trying to understand how to change our nature to that expressed by Jesus. The definition of matrix in the dictionary also refers to the definition of ground substance. So when you look up the definition of matrix, it also refers to the definition of ground substance. And as we know, Adam was formed from ground substance. And it says in Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed the human from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living being." Okay? So, the scientific definition of ground substance, what the Bible calls the dust of the ground, explains that it is the intercellular material in which the cells and fibers of connective tissues are embedded. Okay, now let me say that again. So this ground substance, the dust of the ground, from a scientific perspective, it is the intercellular material in which our cells and the fibers of our body and connective tissues are embedded, okay? So it's sort of the same idea. So the words used by scientists to describe cellular development are words that the Bible uses to describe the ground substance from which humankind was and is formed. So you may be thinking, so what? What does this have to do with me and my life? Well, the key here to it, just like we talk about the intercellular structures where our cells and fiber and all our body is formed, it says the key here is found in the words of Paul recorded in Acts 17:28. He says, "For in God we live and move and breathe and have our being." In other words, we are, you are, I am living, moving, and having my being, our being, in the matrix, in the ground substance, in the intercellular material, the place of infinite possibilities and all-inclusive potential. We are having our life, we're living our life in that scientific, metaphysical, spiritual substance. Now, this may not mean much when you first hear it, but think about it. Contemplate what this would mean for you in your life as you begin to grasp the full nature of it. That we are in the substance that formulates thoughts held in mind, produced after their own kind, prayers held in mind, produced after their own kind. We're in the substance from which that happens. Okay? And when Paul expressed that we have our being in God, this means we are being who we are, with all of our personal qualities that distinguish us from each other. We are having our being in God, our being with all of our personal qualities that distinguish us from each other. Meaning, even though we are one, Paul is saying we are still having an individual expression in the matrix that God is. I don't know if you've heard Pam and I do this sometimes when we're at the airport or we're out in crowds, a lot of people, and we're looking, we're going, it is really amazing, especially when we did that trip through Italy and Greece, and when we're with, it's amazing how no two people look alike. Everybody has their own individual expression in the matrix that God is. So to take this a step further, the matrix comes from the Latin word mater, M-A-T-E-R, meaning mother. So to combine the definition of matrix with the Latin origin of the word mater, we have mother is that within which something originates or takes form. Now, again, we can understand that from a biological standpoint, all right? Simply, the Garden of Eden represents the mother of all possibilities. And also, as we synthesize these definitions, we begin to understand that ground substance is the matrix or mother that Yahweh God, Jehovah God, Lord God acts upon to bring into manifestation the potential that lies within each one of us, okay? And we learned in a previous lesson that Elohim God creates and sets the pattern for infinite potential and ground substance with the words, "Let there be." So remember, in that lesson we said, when we pray asking, Elohim God says, "Well, let there be," okay? I have created the pattern for that which you are praying for, so let there be. So Elohim God sets the pattern within ground substance for our thoughts and prayers to be answered, and Yahweh or Jehovah God acts upon that substance to bring our thoughts and prayers into manifestation. Okay? This is where knowing works with the process. We're hoping, if there's any doubt, may interfere with the process, okay? If you're saying, why aren't my prayers being answered? So in other words, the God the Father sets the pattern for infinite possibilities to respond to our prayers, let there be, and sets that possibility within God the Mother. And to expand on Paul's statement in Acts 17:28, it is the matrix, or Divine Mother, in whom we live and move and have our being, which only makes sense because it is the mother who natures and gives life to her children, okay? And in this case, give life to our prayers, right? Or in this case, it is the Divine Mother that gives life to what we ask for in prayer, and we're not separating God the Mother from God the Father because God, Father, Mother, God are aspects of the one power and one presence in which we live and breathe and have our being. So even though the inclusive language of Father, Mother, God was lost in Scripture, you know, as Scripture progressed, that Father, Mother, God kind of got lost, it is clearly stated in Genesis 1:26, where it is written, let us make the human in our image after our likeness. And as we studied previously, the words us and our are referring to the Trinity, but they're also referring to the divine masculine and the divine feminine aspects of God, okay? Now, let's add another piece to the puzzle in an effort to bring about a little more understanding of our connection to the divine. It is important that we come to understand our own genesis to be able to understand how to form thoughts that will produce health and joy and prosperity from the ground of our being, okay? We need to understand our genesis, our origin, okay? We must understand that every thought and emotion we entertain acts upon the matrix or ground substance of our core self. It begins to produce the manifestation of those thoughts, okay? And this is why Moses was warned by God that the place upon which he stood was holy ground, okay? And that's Exodus 3:5. Basically, God was saying to Moses, be careful what you think about. And it is the same for each one of us. The place within us which your mind resides is holy ground. It is the ground substance, the matrix of infinite possibilities. Your mind is within and surrounded by ground substance where all the good we desire originates and develops. Okay? So with every thought, you must keep reminding yourself, I am standing on holy ground, the matrix of infinite possibilities. Okay? And as you're asking these things in prayer or needing these things from prayer, you know, keep yourself centered in that divine substance in which you and I move and breathe and have our being. Okay? Each one of us at the core of our being, and we know this is the Christ. We know this because we hear it and we study it a lot. Okay? But it says, we are the divine masculine, the divine feminine, the divine father, mother, God, meaning we have within our consciousness the creative ability to act upon the ground substance, the divine matrix, the divine mother, the Garden of Eden, and bring forth infinite possibilities. Simply, we can do anything, be anything, have anything we want because we have direct access to that which all things are made, okay, from which all things are made. Now, I know that's a lot. I mean, I put that on the slide because just hearing it, not even being able to read it, is a lot, okay? Yes, we can have anything, you know, be anything that we want, but we have to understand how to work with and within the divine substance in which we live and breathe and have our being. However, because, and, you know, yes, we can have anything we want, but because the material world has such a tight grip on our senses. Now think about that. And I got that came from me thinking about myself, okay? The material world has such a tight grip on our senses. Our tendency is to impact ground substance, the divine matrix, to bring forth more material results than we do spiritual results. Okay. Now, this imbalance between materiality and spirituality has caused us to misconstrue the true causes of the joy and happiness and well-being in our lives as coming from material life. Okay, think about it. You know, you say, things are going well, I'm happy, I'm joyful. And then if somebody asks you, say, why? We would name all the material reasons as to why we have such joy and happiness and sense of well-being. Okay, now, simply joy and happiness for us, again, are measured by a material yardstick. Now, this is definitely not necessarily a bad thing. Okay, we're not saying it's a bad thing. But as we have all experienced, if you're measuring your life by a material yardstick, it becomes a major source of anguish when we cannot have what we want or we lose what we have because we based it all on a material yardstick. Okay? This is the dilemma caused by an imbalance between our material life and our spiritual life. So again, there's nothing wrong with wanting more in our material life, except when it becomes out of balance with our wanting a deeper connection with our spiritual life. Okay, so Jesus used Yahweh, Jehovah, the Christ, to act upon the divine matrix, the divine mother, the ground substance. He used that to heal the sick, feed the hungry, and to give himself the courage and the strength to forgive and love even in the most difficult of circumstances. That's what he was drawing upon. That's what he was drawing upon when he said to his disciples, when they said, Master, eat him. He said, I have food to eat that you know not of. Okay, he was drawing upon that divine substance. And Jesus acted upon the divine matrix, the divine mother, the ground substance, to create what we call miracles. And he did it for the express purpose of showing us that we too can act upon the ground substance of our mind and create miracles when our intentions become purely focused on the good of all, or like we said, purely focused on wisdom and love. Now, Jesus also understanding the divine matrix or ground substance kept him dressed in the riches of clothes with plenty of eating. Remember there's always the rich and powerful wanted him to come to their house. He had the finest places to sleep. However, it's important to understand that Jesus never sought material things. He never sought material things because he did not have to seek material things. This is because material things sought him. Because of his connection, he became a magnet for whatever it is that he needed in the moment to satisfy that need. And this is a result of maintaining a balance in your life between materiality and spirituality. And as is expressed in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We know that verse, okay? So as you begin to divert your energy from material pursuit and turn some of your energy towards the pursuit of spiritual understanding, you begin to find that you need to expend less energy pursuing material things. As your consciousness raises its vibration from need to knowing, material things will begin to seek you. Okay? So back to the opening statement. If only Adam and Eve hadn't messed up, we'd still be living in the bliss of the Garden of Eden. Okay? So it is believed that in order for the soul to be of real use, real value in the grand universal scheme of evolution, we must evolve to a level of consciousness where we can consciously choose to align our human self with our spiritual self. Okay, a mindset where you're always doing that. You're always, allowing yourself to think about what you're thinking about and align that with, spiritual self, wisdom and love, whatever it is, these terms that we've been using in these lessons to help you to understand what balance you're trying to create. In other words, just as we consciously or unconsciously choose to embrace the material life at the expense of the spiritual life. And see, I said consciously or unconsciously, because a lot of times it's unconscious that we're choosing the material life at the expense of the spiritual life. But as we get to a place where we can choose, when we get to the place where we can get to a whole another state of consciousness, through evolution, it is our mission to evolve to a level of consciousness where we will be able to consciously choose the spiritual realm over the material realm, the spiritual life over the material life. And again, remember, we're not saying that we won't have any stuff, you know, material stuff that we need in our lives to make us happy. We're not saying we won't have that. We're just saying that at the level of spiritual consciousness, stuff comes to you, all right, without you struggling to get to it. And as we studied last week, we need to allow our thoughts, feelings, and emotions to be recalculated and recalculated back to wisdom and love. Okay? And I know these lessons can be hard to grasp, but we'll find it difficult to reach our divine potential if we avoid the deeper hidden purpose of our life experience. Okay? So our life experiences are designed to wake us up to the fact that we live and move and have our being within a realm in which we can pull from to help us move through the many experiences that we come to that may be difficult. And we struggle with so many different issues in our life that, you know, would no longer be an issue if we knew more intimately who we really are and what our part is in the world. And life provides us with a host of opportunities to make the discoveries that will help us lift the veil that keeps us in the state of unknowing. So the purpose of these lessons is to help us lift the veil so we can discover and act from the truth that we really are. So I'm going to end with a story from a Science of Mind magazine. That's what I asked Pam to get for me. I left it on my desk. Okay, and it's from Wednesday, November the 1st, Science of Mind magazine. And the story is about the hummingbird and the powerful jaguar. And I'm giving this as an example of hearing and doing what we spiritually are called to do. Okay, so let me just share this with you. So it says, there's an ancient American story about a raging fire in the forest. And the animals, including a powerful jaguar, flee for their lives. And as the jaguar runs to safety, he notices a tiny hummingbird zooming past him, heading towards the fire. And a few moments later, the jaguar sees the hummingbird race past him again, this time heading away from the fire. Again, seeing the hummingbird go back and forth, yet again, the jaguar calls out, "Hummingbird, why are you headed into the fire that everybody else is running for their lives from?" But Hummingbird replied, "I'm going to the lake where I fill my beak with as much water as I can hold, and then I go back to the fire and empty my beak onto the fire." The jaguar scoffed. "That won't do any good. That small amount of water you're in your tiny beak won't make a difference in the fire." "You're right," answered the hummingbird. "But the fire is my house, and it provided so much throughout my life for me and my family. Even though I know that I can't put the fire out, I have to do my part to save the forest." So the forest gods, hearing the hummingbird's commitment, were moved and created a rainstorm which extinguished the fire. Now, Native American elders tell this story to their grandchildren, saying, "If you want miracles in your life, you need to do your part. Ask yourself, what is my calling? What is my part? And then do that part." And I thought that was such a powerful story. But, you know, thank you. And we will now have a meditation with Pamela.
Now, Unity family, let's give ourselves the gift of a few moments of being in meditation by getting comfortable and gently closing your eyes, gazing inward. Take a gentle breath in and out. As you breathe in and out, know that this breath is the very breath of God. Now please take the following words as your own. Father, I recognize the light of spirit that is my source and true nature. Focused on the light, I look with kindness upon my fears and worries, for they urge me to harness my great power of faith. By faith, I dare to see what cannot be seen by the human eyes, but exists as surely as the sun exists behind a cloud. I trust in universal goodness so much so that I rest deeply in the peace of spiritual assurance. I remain faithful during times when my human brain cannot envision the magnificent possibilities of a healthful life, harmonious love, or boundless prosperity. Moving from fear to faith, I see my life through spiritual eyes. I trust in my divine identity as the greatest reality and live in joyous expectation. I now take the next few moments and take my power of faith with me into the silence of my soul. Here is where the work takes shape and our faith may be illumined. So join me now in the secret place of the Most High, where you may pray, receive answers to your prayers, and be still. Heavenly Father, I am here, open and receptive to your living spirit of truth. I am faith-filled. You are in control of my life, and I am in control of my thoughts. I am blessed, and I am a blessing in this work and in this world. In the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ, we give thanks, and so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back and join your Unity family.
I like that. I can see the ending. Yeah. Good. All right. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to become aware of all the blessings in our lives. It is real interesting. We do it based on a talk we are having today. You know, we are impacting that divine matrix, divine mother, that intercellular substance in which we live and breathe and have our being, and we are seeing blessings in our lives. I think what happens to us sometimes is because we're not getting all that we want, that we don't think that it's really working, but it is working. So this first prosperity prayer is for us to just, you know, be thankful for the blessings we are bringing into our life. So let's say this together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
And then this next blessing is for our spiritual home, Unity Center of Light. And so we ask that you know, if you're inspired by what happens at Unity Center of Light, if it's having an impact on your life, are open to your donations so we can continue doing the work that we do here. So we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen.
All right. Now you have light notes?
Yes. Light notes for today. Today from 12 noon to 1 p.m. we will hold our remembrance service, We invite you to join us in remembering our friends and family members and folks all around our world who have made their transition due to sickness and or war. Please join us on Zoom. The link is the same as the Sunday Zoom Fellowship. The Book Light Book Club meets today at from 1 to 3 to discuss the Oprah Winfrey book, What I Know for Sure. Join us on Zoom from 1 to 3. We have another opportunity to sit in on the 21st Century Ministry Enhancement Seminar. Remember, the church has already paid for your participation. The seminar is Thursday, November the 16th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. The topic is compassionate grieving, living into greater life. People everywhere are living through tumultuous changes, yet grief remains unaddressed. Come and join us as we learn more about helping one another during the times of loss and or sickness. We've heard from a couple of people who took the seminar this past Wednesday that it was awesome and well worth the time. This seminar is sponsored by Unity Worldwide Ministries. Please email Patty if you will be participating. And it is once again time for supporting the food pantry for Thanksgiving and Christmas. The food pantry is not accepting food baskets as they did some time ago. They would appreciate a monetary donation so they could buy grocery gift cards so that folks may buy what they need for the holidays. This also saves a lot of work for the volunteers at the food pantry. We thank you for your support for these families. And that concludes my announcements.
All right. So.
So now it's time that we bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful. All right. And right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope you enjoy this upcoming week. And if you have not ever joined us in Zoom 10:30 on Sunday mornings in the Zoom Fellowship service, please do. Other than that, we say goodbye and have a warm and wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.